Now, turn your attention to, I suppose, the myriad of questions that we've had in the last number of days. Another slew of questions being posed this morning based on the performance of members of the RTE board before the Oireachtas Media Committee yesterday. Here's a little bit of that committee and Deputy Brendan Griffin questioning the new RTE board chairperson, Shuni Rallick.
D Forbes to resign. Did RTE call on D Forbes to resign?
When the Grant Thornton report was delivered to the Audit and Risk Committee, the Audit and Risk Committee made recommendations, and one of those recommendations was to ask for her resignation.
And did you ask for it?
I did.
On Monday?
On the Friday.
When you knew that we were going raising this and this was going before the committee? And you thought that it was a good idea to call it on the person, the chief witness, you could say?
I didn't know that, like, I'm telling you...
You knew this was happening. This had blown up on Thursday.
Actually, I didn't know that this was happening.
Oh, the statement was released before Friday.
No, I'm talking about the previous 16th. Friday.
Yeah, so 16th. Basically what we have here is Hamlet without the prince, okay? D. Forbes isn't here with us today. It would be an invaluable witness. You asked her to resign last Friday. Is that what you're telling us?
No, I'm not telling you that. I said the previous Friday to that.
16th. The previous 16th. Friday.
16th. Just
And would you not have thought that we as an Oireachtas would want to investigate this and that the DG in situ would be someone who could give us some accountability, give the public out there, people who are watching today, some accountability? Would you not have... we were told that her resignation was tendered last Monday, you accepted the resignation?
That's correct.
Why did you accept the resignation? Could you not have invoked clauses to ensure that the key witness would be here to answer questions, that we could compel that person who would still be in situ to answer the questions the people of the country deserve to hear the answers to?
Yeah, perhaps, and she still has the option to come before the committee.
She has the option, but not as DG of RTE. Did you meet as a committee to discuss this?
Well, of course we met as a committee.
And you made an agreement as a committee?
The recommendation, as I said, from the Audit and Risk Committee was to ask for a resignation, and that was then affirmed to the board on the Monday.
Is there a clawback to malus clause in her contract?
Is there
a clawback clause, and will RTE be seeking compensation for monies lost?
I can't.
Has anyone even looked at that? Seek a reimbursement?
Can I just say that there's nothing to say that she personally gained from this?
Yeah. No, but the organisation lost. The country, the taxpayers lost.
There you go. That's a little bit of Deputy Brendan Griffin questioning the RTE chair yesterday for the Oireachtas Committee. Deputy Griffin is with me on the line. Brendan, there's a lot of things that were revealed by your questioning yesterday before the committee that kind of beggar belief, really. That whole resignation scenario, plus... And I think this is one of your first questions to them. The question as to when they first knew there was an issue. You were told originally it was the 16th of March, and now it turns out, as you found out through later questioning, that it was much earlier than that. A lot of very unsatisfactory answers yesterday, I would contend. What's your view on it, having sat through the 4.5 hours?
Good morning, Jerry, and good morning to everyone listening. Yeah, we went on for 4.5 hours. It was a very, very long meeting. But one of the benefits, I suppose, of that was the more it went on, the more information that we got, and some of it, I would say, was dragged out, but we got there in the end, and that was one of the key points that initially I asked the committee, I asked them very, very unequivocally, did anybody in RTE know before the 16th of March, before the 17th of March, about any of this? And I was told no. I was told unequivocally no, but it later emerged in that people did know before the 17th of March, which is crucial, because 16th of March is the date on which Ryan Tubridy announced that he was stepping down from the Late Late Show. So all of this is still playing itself out. Thankfully the PAC have another chance now this morning to ask more questions about this, and we got a lot of information yesterday. There were a lot of things we didn't know yesterday. For example, until I asked about whether actually D. Forbes was asked to resign or whether she tendered her resignation, you know, we found out then that actually, in fact, she had been asked to resign, not last Friday, but actually the Friday before. So this was before any of this broke into the public. And then she tendered her resignation on Monday, and that was accepted. And that was after the RTE board knew that the Oireachtas were trying to investigate this and trying to bring the board and the executives and Dee Forbes before them, because we met last Friday. I was on with you last Friday morning. So I was on with you there, just saying that this is what I was calling for. It was Friday morning, and the calling for this and saying that this is what needs to happen. So and yet it took until Monday, 2 days before the Oireachtas hearing, they accepted the resignation, which meant that basically our committee couldn't compel Dee Forbes to come before our committee to answer questions. So like, it's really beyond belief, really, in terms of just this would happen. And when I put it to the witnesses yesterday, did anyone in the board not think that, well, the Oireachtas committee might want to hear about this, and there might want to be some accountability? That didn't seem to have registered. It didn't seem to have been something that was raised, which questions, you know, a lot of judgment there on behalf of the board and the people sitting around the table. So, it was quite a disillusioning day yesterday, in terms of, you know, the witnesses that were there, the answers that were given, and also I would say as well the manner in which people answered the various members of the Oireachtas who were asking the questions, because I didn't feel that it was I didn't feel there was openness. I felt it was any information you were going to get yesterday, it was only by dragging it out, and that's certainly not the attitude that you'd expect from an organisation that is trying to rebuild trust with the public and trying to mend fences and turn over a new leaf.
It seemed at times that some of the executives didn't even know that much about the company that they were running, in terms of the number of people who were involved with a particular agency, the sort of side deals that were done over cars, and even the fact, like, the question as to whether they could give a straight answer as to whether Patrick Keelty, the incoming presenter of the Late Late Show, whether his contract was signed or not.
Yeah, there were lots of holes in the information, and from people like, who were very well paid to do a quite specific job, you know. Everyone can be excused for not having detail on certain things from time to time, but these were quite specific questions in a pretty narrow field that one person would have responsibility over, and there weren't answers forthcoming, and the detail just wasn't there. One of the things I asked about yesterday was the contract, Dee Forbes, and whether there was clawback clauses in the contract, and for reimbursement for RTE, and no one seemed to know that. The chief financial officer was asked a number of questions pertaining to his brief yesterday, and again the answers just weren't good enough, and the chair had a number of questions, Jerry, that you would expect the chair to be able to answer pretty easily and pretty straightforward, you know, and that didn't happen yesterday either. So I don't know what it was like for the public watching in, because look, I was sitting there in the room for over 4 hours. And, you know, after a while, there's no windows in those rooms, you're underground, you know, it's committee rooms, and you kind of feel like you're in a bit of a bunker.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it was like for people watching in, but certainly from my perspective, it was one of the most staggering performances from a group of witnesses that I've experienced in the Oireachtas in my time here anyway.
Yeah, well, listen, I suppose, Brendan, the bigger question, the wider question about maybe the need for reform came from a number of different revelations before the committee yesterday. Like, even the point of view of the situation with regards to cars and side deals, let's say that RTE top stars are entitled to, the directors said they weren't aware of any similar deals within or without the top 10 earners, but there was an acceptance that some on-air people received benefits like cars in exchange for being ambassadors, albeit not rooted through RT. You know, that in itself, you would ask the question as to how appropriate that is. That the reason people who are getting these cars is because they work in RTE, yet RTE had a total hands-off approach, despite the potential for conflict of interest. You add to that then the question of the Noel Kelly agency. And this is nothing against Noel Kelly, but he just has a stable of at least 11, if not more, people, stars, we'll call them, of different grades, all working in RT. And the question that, did anyone at board level ever ask the question, look, is this a healthy situation? Like Julie Rahalig, the chair, yesterday was saying, well, at times we were bidding against ourselves. That is this a real healthy situation for RTE as an employer to be dealing with everything going through one agency? And that nobody thought to say, well, hold on a second, this is not good. This isn't healthy for us as an employer and what we pay. But it seems like none of those questions were ever asked.
Yeah, I suspect that the Public Accounts Committee, the PSE, will follow that line further this morning. And one of the things I raised yesterday was about conduct in relation to the receipt of gifts and the of influence. And as we discussed here last Friday morning, like if you're a presenter, you know, if you're one of the top presenters and you have an audience of hundreds of thousands of people regularly, well, you're a person of significant influence then, you know, and therefore, you know, there needs to be, you know, a strict code, I would say, in terms of the types of things that are and aren't acceptable then in that regard. The same way it is, we're answerable to the standards in public office code as members of the RoCTS or other public representatives would be. So this is something that needs to be looked at and needs to be urgently addressed, I would say, by the national broadcaster. And also as well, you know, there were questions that I asked yesterday in relation to the benefits that are derived by RTE personnel from advertisers. So I asked if discounts are provided. They said, yes, they are provided to certain advertisers. And I asked then if there were any benefits provided to RTE personnel. And first of all, I was told no, but then I was told that, yes, there are some things, you know, match tickets, that sort of thing. So I've asked for detailed lists and a breakdown of the types of things that we're talking about, because I think that there is certainly concern, I think, in the public that amongst people when RTE comes up in discussion, that there is an unhealthy relationship there between some personnel and, you know, commercial partners, and that's something that needs to be probed further, and we need to ensure that the public are confident.
Are confident in that. Final question and brief question. There's an open question here, and it maybe came out a little bit, it may come out more today, of this €120,000 bonus, loyalty bonus, we'll call it. Apparently not paid. We don't know if Ryan Turbidy is still actually entitled to that or not. But a question as to whether anybody else at that level was paid these lump sums at the end of contracts, going back maybe beyond or before 2017. We're told no one has it today in their contract or any of the contracts there, but did it happen before? And the reason as to why would you do that for somebody who's already being paid, you know, fabulous sums of money, that think that they would need another 100,000 on top of it for fulfilling their contract, which they already have been paid for?
Yeah. I mean, it's beyond belief, really. If we go back historically, go back 10, 15 years, the actual the pay for the top earners was actually far higher than it is now. So, like, this is just bizarre beyond belief, and it really is insulting to people, you know, who are struggling and, you know, who go out there and, in all honesty, purchase their RTE license every year, and this stuff is just really toxic. One of the things I would say as well, Jerry, is that like the PSE, the timing actually was actually excellent. The fact that we were able to get all of this information yesterday, albeit very, you know, in a very difficult way, got this information, but our colleagues in the PSC now have had 16, 18 hours to go through all of this and line up questions for this morning. So actually, tactically, from an Oireachtas point of view, it's an excellent way of delving in and getting more information. But those payments, definitely, I mean, the answers we got yesterday were about as clear as mud. So today is an opportunity to get more information on that. But one thing I also called for yesterday was for the top earners list to be expanded. Like, we hear about the top 10 earners and it stops somewhere over €200,000, I think. We need to know more. I made the point yesterday, the organisation that I work for publishes the top 220 earners, which is basically every senator, every TD. Our salaries are published. Everyone knows what they are. They're out there. We're public servants, and that's the way it should be, of course. But in RTE, after number 10, and you're stealing huge money, it's silence and nobody knows what's going on. And we know there are a huge number of workers in RTE who are not on next or near that type of money. And it really is, yeah, you know, just it really is a kick to those people when they see the top 10 list. Yeah. And they know as well there are loads of other people on astronomical money and it's not published. So I've asked yesterday for that list to be expanded and to go as far as everyone earning over €100,000 and to publish that. And it's in the interest of the public and it's in the interest of confidence in the organisation that we would know that. And I'd hope to see that happen shortly.
Final question for you. Lots of praise for your questioning and your performance yesterday and trying to elicit those answers. Are you still happy in your decision to step down as a TD at the next election?
100%, Gerry, there's no going back. I've crossed the Rubicon, and I think actually when you give wanting to spend more time with your family as the reason for leaving, there is no going back, because can you imagine the questions if you were to say, well, actually, I want to go back now. But no, 100%. But as I said to you when I spoke to you there in January, I enjoy the job I do. I'm enjoying it more than ever, actually, now with the pressure of an impending election off. But I do intend to work as hard as I can right up to the very end and give my very best. I mean, I was elected into this position. It's a position of huge honour and privilege, and I enjoy doing it. And I think yesterday, look, I would hope that we did the state some service yesterday in terms of trying to unravel some of the mystery around all of this, and if we can help to reform the national broadcaster and provide a better service and a more transparent service for people and a fairer system, well, that's good work, and that's kind of why I'm there, really. That's the reason I was in there. I did not enjoy being in there yesterday, in terms of, look, you don't want anyone, any witnesses, you don't want someone to be in a position like that. It's not a nice job to have to do, but at the same time, you have to ask the questions, and that's your job. But it's not a pleasant job at all. Actually, I don't take any enjoyment from having people, you know, under pressure there, answering questions, and it's not a nice part of the job, but it's a necessary part, and look, it is in the public interest, and that's why you do it.
Okay. All right, Brendan, we're going to leave it there, and thanks for talking to us for this morning. That's Deputy Brendan Griffin of Fine Gael. If you have a view on that, get in touch. We'll have more from Intercon next.